crack on. So today we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 14 to 16 and take a look at the story of King Asa. The title of my message today is Staying Centered on God. So at this time, when we read about this, there's 2 kingdoms. There's the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, and both have different kings. Asa is the 3rd king of the southern kingdom of Judah. King Asa is the son of Abijah, so he succeeds him as king. And you can see that actually Asa is Solomon's great-grandson, so he's a descendant of David. Now, we know that King Solomon's heart turns away from God, 1 Kings 11, 8-10. Solomon's son Rehoboam and all the people of Israel turn away from God in 2 Chronicles 12:1. And Abijah, son of Rehoboam, continued to sin just like his father before him. He was not true-hearted to God as his great-grandfather David had been at 1 Kings 15:3. So, what kind of king is Asa? Well, when we look at 2 Chronicles 14, we see that Asa was a good king. He did things right in God's eyes. He cleaned house, got rid of the pagan altars and shrines, smashed the sacred stone pillars, and chopped down the sex and religion groves, Asherim. He told Judah to center their lives in God, the God of their fathers, to do what the law said and to follow the commandments. So those before Asa from Solomon's time have gone astray, and there's all these idols, there's all these made up gods that the people worship. And Asa cleans house, he gets rid of them all. And when we think about this process, it's no small task. So there were probably quite a few idols, and this would have taken some work. So this didn't happen overnight. Asa probably had a lot of people that were unhappy with him for removing or destroying these things. And Asa carrying out these actions and completing this job of destroying the false idols demonstrate his passion to have his life and the lives of the people centered in God. So from my perspective, when we look at the life of the kingdom at this time, for Asa to actually do this, he must have really wanted that. He really wanted the people to know God, to follow him. And as a result of this, the kingdom was at peace. So there's this positive outcome from this. And in verse 7 of chapter 14, Asa says to his people, "We have this peaceful land because we sought God. He has given us rest from all our troubles." So Asa believes that seeking God is good, that seeking God is the way to go about things, and that there is good that comes from seeking God. And he's communicating this to the people here. Now, interestingly, we see, if we rewind back a bit in 2 Chronicles 12, we see that Rehoboam, so Asa's granddad, in his 5th year, because he and the people were unfaithful to God, Shishak, king of Egypt, invades. So therefore, this does suggest that being faithful to God is better for the kingdom and it's better for the people. Now, I want to point out here that Asa, when he gets rid of these false idols, he now breaks the chain that's gone on of unfaithfulness to God in his family from Solomon onwards. Asa is not his father. He chooses to go about things differently to his father. And I imagine that that would have been quite challenging at times. Now, we don't see or read about these challenges. We just get to see that Asa got rid of all the false gods and there was this peace. We don't see the time it took or all the things that he may have had to deal with in that process. So like King Asa here, if those before you have gone down a dark route, you don't have to go that same way. You don't have to be like the other leaders or the people around you. Here, King Asa, he doesn't take the same dark path as his fathers Abijah and Rehoboam and even Solomon in the end. He changes direction. Asa gets himself and the people centered on God. So if there's a pattern of bad choices, of unfaithfulness to God, even a pattern of crime in those that have gone before you, if even you yourself have been going down the wrong route in the past, you can change direction now like Asa did. You can choose to get yourself and those around you centered on God. Now, you could say that Asa didn't stand a chance because everyone around him was so taken in by the current culture and the way of doing things that he was on his own in his desire to be faithful to God. But ultimately, he chose who he was going to be and where he was going to lead the people, and that was towards God. So, church, who are we going to choose to be? And in what direction are we pointing towards? Who or where are we pointing others to? We see that in 1 Kings 15:11, Asa conducted himself well before God, reviving the ways of his ancestor David. Perhaps we today, like Asa, can revive some right ways where needed. We may not have the same physical statues of false gods or shrines around us and those same practices, but we do know that just like in that day where there were some things that were just so normal and a part of people's ways, there are some things today that may be considered just so normal and a part of everyone's ways that should not be a part of our ways if we want to be faithful to God. Just because people around us follow certain ways or practices or get up to certain things does not mean that we should too. And it's always good to give ourselves a check, isn't it? And ask God to show us if there are things in our lives that we need to get rid of or clear out that are leading us to darkness. So let's not allow ourselves to be pressured into following the crowd. We can choose what way we're going to follow. We can choose what direction we're going to take. And Asa chooses a better way. He chooses God's way. And he encourages and leads others to take that better way too. And we see that there's actually a reward for it. And in 1 Kings 15:11, we see Asa even goes so far as to remove his own grandma from her position, Queen Maha, and gets rid of this memorial that she's made to this false goddess. Now, with regards to getting rid of the idols and removing his grandma, the queen, from her position, if we actually look at 2 Chronicles 14 and chapter 15, we think that there's roughly about 18 years between these events. There was certainly, you know, a good amount of time between these events taking place. So this tells us that the deep-rooted sin of worshipping idols was very hard to get out of the people. It took time to change things, and Asa had to be consistent in his dealings over these issues. And I think this shows that King Asa was pretty committed to leading the people to be centered on God and keeping things this way, or keeping the focus on God. Sometimes we may pray for revival and think that everything's going to change overnight, but we forget that it takes time to change things and we need to be consistent over that time. We can remove people's opportunities, but while there is sin in people's hearts, it will still rise up another way. Now let's go back to 2 Chronicles 14, and we read that Zerah the Ethiopian went to war against Asa with an army of a million. I'm just going to pause right there. An army of a million. That's quite hard, isn't it? Just to, you know, comprehend an army of a million plus 300 chariots and got as far as Maresha. Asa met him there and prepared to fight. So this is Asa's response when he comes under attack by an army of a million. Asa meets him there, or Zerah there, and prepares to fight. Then Asa prays to God, O God, you aren't impressed by numbers or intimidated by a show of force once you decide to help. Help us, O God. We have come out to meet this huge army because we trust in you and who you are. Don't let mere mortals stand against you. So this shows that Asa believes that God can do anything when he decides to help. It shows that Asa trusts God. And it shows again that Asa believes that seeking God, that being centered on him, is the way. And this is what happens. God defeats the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and they run for their lives. And there's this great victory for Asa and for Judah. Now, years later, after Asa's battle with the Ethiopians in the 36th year of his reign, King Baasha of Israel attacks. So what's Asa's response here? Well, it would seem that Baasha and the Israelites could not succeed against Asa and Judah without Ben-Hadad's help. So Ben-Hadad is the king of Aram. Asa takes the silver and gold from the temple to buy Ben-Hadad's favour. And the idea is that if Asa gives Ben-Hadad this treasure, he'll remove his support from Baasha, king of Israel. So Asa is basically bribing him here. So why does Asa not do what he did before when there was this great victory, when a million warriors attacked, when there were more warriors that were attacking them? Does Asa no longer believe that God can do anything when he decides to help? Does Asa no longer trust God? Does Asa no longer believe that seeking God, that being centered on him, is the way? In fact, where is Asa involving God in any of this? Now, earlier we read that Asa has all the gold and silver vessels and artifacts that were consecrated for holy use installed in the temple. And now he's actually taking these things and using them for a bribe. Asa is taking away these things that have been dedicated to use in worship, that are consecrated, dedicated to be a part of something pointing towards God, taking those same things and using them for bribery, pointing towards man for man's help. Now, back in 2 Chronicles 15, before all of this, Azariah is moved by the Spirit of God, goes out to meet Asa, and he says to Asa and the people, God will stick with you as long as you stick with him. If you look for him, he will let himself be found. But if you leave him, he'll leave you. And then he goes on to deliver this really encouraging message. And this is still a valid message for us today. If we stick with God, he'll stick with us. If we walk away from God, we're walking away from everything. And that's our choice. And this is a constant choice that we have in our daily lives. The word says, he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, after this message Azariah has given, Asa calls for an assembly for all the people. And we know that many people from Israel had left their homes and they joined forces with Asa when they saw that God was on his side. So they all arrive there and there's this great assembly of worship. The people bound themselves in a covenant to seek God wholeheartedly. And they agree that anyone who refused to seek God should be killed. The word says that they sought God and he had showed up ready to be found. This is the Message translation that I'm using today. The whole country felt good about the covenant's promise. They had given their promise joyfully from the heart. So what about this covenant? Asa is now making a treaty or an agreement with Ben-Hadad. But what about the promise that he's already made to seek God? What about this agreement that he already has and the joy that was felt over it? is God not the one that is his protector following this covenant? Asa has a choice in how he responds to what he faces, and at this time he chooses to turn away from God in the way that he's handling things. Interestingly, we don't see Asa going out prepared to fight in this battle like we do with the Ethiopians. Why was Asa not out there prepared to fight and praying to God? Why has he chosen to handle things like this? Maybe he's thinking about the political situation between Israel and Judah, and he's concerned, wanting to ensure that Judah will be in a stronger position. Still though, why wouldn't he ask God for help at any stage? So clearly there's been a change somewhere in Asa. He's not turned evil. What he's trying to do to help his people is good, but he's not going about things in the right way. So had Asa forgotten what God had done before? When Azariah is talking to Asa in chapter 15, he says about, or talks about, the times past before the people decided to seek God. And he says how it was a dog-eat-dog world. Life was constantly up for grabs. No one, regardless of country, knew what the next day might bring. Nation battered nation, city pummeled city. God let loose every kind of trouble among them. But then God gave them peace and things changed. What has God done for us? Do we need to remind ourselves how he's changed things for us? How he calmed our anxiety? Or how he healed us? Or how he brought us through? Or how he strengthened us? Let's remember what he's done for us and where our help comes from. Had Asa forgotten what the Spirit of God had moved Azariah to say about sticking with God? We see how encouraged and motivated Asa is when Azariah speaks, and following this message, this encouraging message, Asa cleans out the obscene and polluting sacred shrines. Had he lost his motivation? Let's remember what God has said to us. You know, sometimes we receive a word from God, or we feel God is saying something to us, and we can get all motivated, can't we, and all excited. And a few weeks later, we may not have that same motivation. But I want to encourage you to hold on to the encouraging words that God has given you, and to hold on to the word of God. Maybe there is something specific that we need to hold on to when things look grim and we're not sure what to do. Let's hold on to the word of God. Had Asa lost his focus and drifted away? Asa would have had to really stay centered on God to lead the people where he led them from and to be consistent. And maybe he's just slowly and gradually kind of given in a bit. Maybe he's allowed himself to be negatively influenced. Are we keeping our lives centered on God? Have we drifted away a bit? Have we allowed ourselves to perhaps be negatively influenced? Have we let some things in our lives that are drawing us away from God and are changing us? It's not too late just to take a check of ourselves and to center ourselves back again. Had Asa lost his passion and zeal for God? Are there some of us that have lost a bit of our passion? Asa was working hard for years, keeping the people centered on God. And it could be that, you know, he just got a bit fed up and exhausted, and he'd just lost sight of the rewards of sticking with God. Maybe you're tired and you've lost some of your motivation or passion. Perhaps even you've faced some challenges over a long period of time. Maybe some bad things have happened. Perhaps you've been discouraged. Perhaps even you've been hurt and you've lost your motivation to do good and to change things. Ask God for help and he will help you. Let's get fully centered on him. is it that Asa thinks he doesn't need God's help because there's not as many warriors as he had to face before with the Ethiopians? Well, surely asking God for help is better than removing the treasures in the temple and bribing someone with them. Was Asa really aware of how he'd changed and when he'd changed? We don't know. And I would suggest that this reminds us that it's good to keep a check of ourselves. Regardless of what was going on inside of Asa, he could have had God's help. And regardless of what's going on inside of you, whatever you're facing, you can have God's help if you ask for it. So what happens next? Well, Ben-Hadad of Aram joins with King Asa, King Baasha finds out and quits. So this one battle is over, for now. But now, because Asa's handled things this way, there's going to be one round of war after another, which isn't good. Verses 7 to 9, chapter 16. Hanani the seer, he comes to Asa and he says, because you went for help to the king of Aram, so that's Ben-Hadad, and didn't ask God for help, you've lost a victory over the king of Aram. So Ben-Hadad, the guy that Asa just bought the favour from to withdraw his support for Israel, Asa doesn't realise, in his eyes, Baasha, the king of Israel, is the only enemy, but he doesn't realise that Ben-Hadad is also the enemy, and that if he just asked God for help, they'd have all been crushed. He only sees this short-term issue, which he works to solve. And sometimes we only see the short-term issue, or the issue that we can see right in front of us, but God sees beyond that. He sees further than that. And that's why we need to ask for his help in all these things, because we cannot see what he sees. We do not know what he knows. And sometimes, as we know, things can even be right in front of us and we still don't see it. So we need God's help, don't we? And all Asa needed to do was to ask God for help, and it would have been there. God wanted to give Asa a greater victory. God saw the bigger picture and wanted to help Asa. And Hanani goes on to say, didn't the Ethiopians and Libyans come against you with superior forces, completely outclassing you with their chariots and cavalry? But you asked God for help and he gave you the victory. God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You were foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. Now you're in trouble, one round of war after another. Isn't this encouraging that God looks for ways to help us? God is actively looking for ways to help us. So what do we do when we are attacked and when bad things hit us? What's our response? Because we can access the help of God. All we have to do is ask. How does Asa respond to this message from Hanani? Well, he loses his temper and angry, he puts Hanani in the stocks. At the same time, he starts abusing some of the people. Eh? Asa's a good king. He did things right in God's eyes. And now we see angry Asa. So why was Asa so angry? Was it because he realized he'd made a mistake? Because he realizes he actually could have had this great victory? Because he really didn't see things clearly, or because he didn't like what Hanani said? Again, we don't really know everything that was going on inside Asa, but we do know that he had a choice on how he handled this, how he responded, and Asa allows his anger to get the best of him. Here are a few ways that Asa could have responded. he could have taken a few moments or some time to reflect on this message that had been given, to take this on board, to accept and to recognize that he's made a mistake, that perhaps he's not handled the situation correctly, and there's consequences. That's life. He could have thought about the fact that maybe he couldn't change what he's done, but moving forward, he can do better. He can do all the good that he can do, even if there are all these wars ahead. He could say sorry and think about what he could do better next time. He could repent. Now, this is what I think is really interesting, is we know that Asa's granddad Rehoboam was unfaithful to God. And in 2 Chronicles 12, we read about how Rehoboam comes under the attack by Shishak, king of Egypt. And a prophet speaks to Rehoboam and he says, God's word, you abandoned me, now I abandon you to Shishak. But it goes on to say how the leaders of Israel and the king were repentant and said, God is right. So because Rehoboam was repentant, God's anger was blunted. So actually, regardless of what the prophet said, he wasn't totally destroyed. So we see from this that when Rehoboam was sorry, when he was repentant, he wasn't abandoned, he wasn't totally destroyed. So the outcome actually changed when he was repentant. Don't you think that's amazing? The amazing grace of God, that God actually changes his mind because Rehoboam is repentant. So why doesn't Asa choose to recognize that God is right? Why doesn't Asa repent? Because perhaps, like with Rehoboam, if Asa had repented, the outcome would have been different. But Asa does not respond in this way. He doesn't even decide to ask God for help with the rounds of war that he's just been told are ahead. So not only now are there these consequences from Asa's initial mistake, there are now the consequences of his anger at Hanani's word and of him allowing that anger to take over. How do we respond to correction? We all love it? Probably not. But how do we respond? How do we handle our mistakes? Because Asa goes from making this mistake to making more and more, and he lets his anger spiral. So how do we handle our anger? Do we allow it to grow and to spiral and to cause us to hurt others around us? I would like to suggest that not only does Asa allow his anger to take over as he starts abusing some of the people, and perhaps he allows his anger to change his views on God, to distort his views on reality, but that actually he allows his anger to completely spiral out of control. And we can see that his treatment of the people changed when he had become angry. Does our treatment of others change depending on how we feel? Are we nasty to people when we're feeling stressed at work? When we get angry, do we let it explode all over the people we live with in a negative way? Do we hurt others around us? Do we allow bitterness to take root in our hearts, and do we claim to be the victim in every situation? In our day-to-day lives, perhaps we may need to ask ourselves, how is what is going on in my heart affecting those around me? You see, Asa doesn't stop to examine his heart or ask God to help him to be better, to do better. He allows his anger to take over and it spills over onto his people. maybe we need to put some strategies in place. Maybe we need to ask God for help, because God will help us. He helps us in all these things. And let's not allow our anger to hurt others. Perhaps Asa allows his anger to take over so deeply that he just doesn't even talk to God anymore at all. It started so well with Asa and ended so tragically. Who are we becoming? Are we on track? Are we centered on God? David puts it this way in Psalm 25:12. My question, what are God worshippers like? Your answer, arrows aimed at God's bullseye. Arrows aimed at God's bullseye. We may go off course from time to time, but there are still lots of little moments where we have these opportunities to start back on course, to get back in the right direction, even when we've messed up and we're living with the consequences. Have we taken a look lately at the direction in which we are headed? Asa dies with a severe case of foot infection and doesn't ask God for help at all. Even though he's seen God do all these amazing things, Asa lives the rest of his life away from God. His anger has consumed him. When we come to the end of our lives, who do we want to be? Are we arrows aimed at God's bullseye? Asa was king of a nation. We might not be leading a nation, but we are leading ourselves, and we do need to lead ourselves to follow God and to point those around us to him as well. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are looking for ways to help us. We thank you that we have access to your help at all times. And Lord, help us to keep a check of ourselves. Help us to stay centered on you. And if we're in here today, or we're listening at this moment, and we've gone slightly off track, God, help us to get back in the right direction, to be those arrows aimed at God's bullseye. And God, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Help us to keep you at the center always. Amen.